As you know, sometimes on Wednesday nights and sometimes on Sunday nights, whenever we get a chance, we are dealing with the parables of Matthew 13. And we've made our way all the way to the seventh parable here in Matthew 13. It's found in verse number 47. Let's look at that together if we can. We've went over six different parables, and now tonight is the seventh. Number 47 of Matthew 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, notice the simile, like unto. I'm going to give you a comparison of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, that's a key phrase that you'll all need to remember, the kingdom of heaven. Now, you need to determine in your mind, Bible interpretation, what the kingdom of heaven is. And I'll tell you this, he's talking to his disciples. It's a Jewish kingdom that one day God has promised Jesus Christ to sit on his throne of David for 1,000 years and rule and reign with a rod of iron. And if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Boy, that's going to be a good time to be in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm glad I'm a part of his bride. I'm going to be right at his right hand. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down, and gathered the good into vessels. Notice the contrast, the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. Now he's going to give us the comparison of this parable of the good and the bad fish as they're drawing the net out and pulling the fish in. They're looking at the fish. They're separating the bad fish from the good fish. And now he's going to tell you why he told them that. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And Heavenly Father, you help us now tonight as we look into these blessed pages, Lord, for some help and some comfort in the time of need. God, we pray right now that everybody in the building tonight knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're saved on their way to heaven. And one day, when this day comes that we're going to talk about tonight, that they'll be not severed from the wicked and the just, and they'll not have to spend eternity in a place called hell where there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth, just like the Word says. God, we pray right now that everybody in the building knows beyond a shadow of a doubt they're saved. And oh, they're going to heaven someday. God, if they don't know that tonight, we pray right now that you'd send the sweet Holy Spirit, start dealing with their heart right now, putting them under conviction, show them their need, the need to be saved, for it's everlasting too late. The rest of us that's been saved, God, you help us, encourage us to know that when this time comes, Lord, we'll know that we're on the winning side, as we sung a while ago, victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. And we thank you for that, dying on the cross and saving us. God, we thank you for it. Bless the service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, we see here the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. Now, as we looked at this parable, the last parable, number 7, it is almost identical. If you'll think back, it's almost identical to the wheat and the tares. If you'll look back in verse number 24. Look at verse number 24 and watch the comparison. It's almost just like these parables could go side by side. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now that would represent the bad fish. And went his way, and when the blades were sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants in the household came, said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. How many of you know the devil likes to sow tares among the wheat? Amen. The devil likes to cause division in the church. The devil likes to cause division among saved people. Amen. He likes to. That's what he wants to. And while we're asleep, in the dark, and we think everything is going hunky-dory, the devil will come and plant tares among the wheat and try to divide it up. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest we gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. What is that? The end of the world. What a goal were we just talking about. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, he's talking about those angels, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in the bundles, and burn them. and gather the wheat into my barn. The tares are going to the furnace of fire and to be burnt up where there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The wheat's going to be gathered together and go into the barn and inherit the kingdom. Do you see the likeness of these two parables? One parable is talking about the wheat and the tares. This parable, the last, number 7, is talking about the good fish and the bad fish. Now, let me give the historical application real quick while we're going through this. Number one, as you know, he's talking to Jews. In the book of Leviticus, it tells the Jews what kind of fish they can eat and what kind they can't. Now, some of you fishermen may have to help me, Brother Dennis, and some of you that fish on a normal basis, you'll have to help me. But the Bible in the book of Leviticus says that the Jews can only eat fish that have scales and fins. And anything that has fins and, don't have fins and don't have scales, am I right, Brother John, is called unclean. Now, I don't know. I asked Brother John, Brother Jack, some of these, and Brother Dennis, catfish doesn't have scales, right? It should be considered unclean. Brother Gerald, I mean a master fisherman. He don't catch many fish, but he knows a lot about them. Right, Brother Gerald? A catfish would be considered unclean. It eats off the bottom and all that dead and ugly stuff. Be considered unclean. Brother Gerald, Brother Dennis, give me another unclean fish. Eel, all right? That would be definitely unclean for me. I'm telling you. But here's what the Jews would do. As a historical application, when they go out and fish, if they were Jewish, mind you, if they caught a catfish in there, or they caught an eel or something like that, they would consider that bad fish, and they would throw them to the side, but not necessarily would they throw them to the side. Guess what they would do? They'd put them over here in a pile by themselves, and they would sell them for money to the Gentiles. Because what? The Gentiles can eat anything. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Amen! And the Jews would take what they could eat, the clean fish, the good fish, if you will, and they'd take them for themselves, but they wouldn't throw the bad away. They would make, hey, they were Jewish. Let's see what we make off of this deal. And so they would sell those to the Gentiles. Now, let me give you just a little bit of the doctrinal application. If you'll look at Matthew chapter number 24, real quick like, Matthew chapter number 24. You'll notice in Matthew 24, we have what we call the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus is setting on the Mount of Olives, and he's talking to his disciples, and they ask him, what's the sign of the coming of the last days or the end of the world? Notice we just got through reading the parable that said about the end of the world when they're going to gather this net, and they're going to draw in all of these fish and separate the good fish from the bad fish. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the bad fish are those that are unsaved. Would you agree with that? And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the good fish are the ones that are saved, if you will, in that particular context. But notice here in verse chapter number 24, let's get the context. Look at verse number 13. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Notice verse 14. It'll tell you what gospel this is. The gospel of the kingdom. We just read the parable. It said the kingdom of heaven is like an unto. And so we see the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Notice verse 29, can we? Verse number 29 of Matthew 24. Now I'm moving very hurriedly. A lot of you know this stuff already, but a lot of you may not have heard this, and so you people that have heard this on a normal basis, please indulge me, and I'm not questioning your intelligence whatsoever. Notice verse number 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, would you say that's before the tribulation or after the tribulation? Immediately. Ain't the Bible wonderful? I don't know any Greek, don't know Hebrew. I'm not going to say it. But I know this. It says immediately after the tribulation. I know what that means. Of those days shall the sun be darkened. Remember that. And the moon shall not give her light. Remember that. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. What's the sign of the Son of Man in heaven? He's going to appear on a white horse in Revelation chapter number 19. And He's coming back with us behind Him, the armies which are in heaven. And He's come back with a white horse with that new name written, that sword coming out of His mouth, the two-edged sword, which is the Word of God. Amen. A good old-fashioned King James 1611 Bible. That ain't what it said, but that's what it means. Amen. The Son of Man in heaven, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 31. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together His elect from the four winds. Do you see these angels gathering those? They throwing out the net. They're throwing out the net and they're drawing in the fish. They gather together His elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. And then it goes and tells the parable of the fig tree. We don't have time to look at that right now, but I want you to notice this. Look at verse number 40. Same context immediately after the tribulation. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Do you see? One is a good fish. One is a bad fish. The one that's taken, my friend, will be the one, the tares that's going into, my friend, the furnace of fire, be bundled up and cast in the furnace of fire. The one that's left will be the one to go into the kingdom and inherit the kingdom. Doctrinally speaking, that's what we're talking about. Be the good fish will go and inherit the kingdom. The bad fish are going to be bundled up just like the tares and go in and be cast into the furnace of fire forever and forever. And let me tell you this, that hell was not made for you. It was made for the devil and his angels, and that was the full intent for hell. God didn't intend for nobody to go there. He knew some people would because everybody's not going to get saved. Not because they can't, because they don't want to. Amen. And so there we see a doctrinal application. I want you to look at this, if you will. Look at Revelation chapter number 14. I believe it is. Revelation chapter number 14. Revelation chapter number 14. Verse number 18. Well, let's look at 14. Let's look at something here. Still doctrinal application if we can. Verse 14. And I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice unto him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. Well, that sounds like we're going to the wheat field and we're fixing to take the sickle. If I've watched enough horror movies, I think I know what a sickle is. It's one of them things that's got the hook on it, right? And you go in and you start cutting. Am I right? I mean, I know Halloween's not in the Bible and all, but you got a lot of insight watching horror movies. Everybody's got a sickle. All right, I can tell you I don't care about that. He takes this sickle and it looks like he's going to the wheat field. He's going to reap. Now notice what he does. Thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven. He also had a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of from the altar which had the power over fire, cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Notice what he's going to do. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out from the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle by the face, a space of 1,600 furlongs, 200 miles in the land of the Valley of Jehoshaphat. the valley of decision, if you will, over in Joel chapter number 3. You will see the valley. The Armageddon is the place where this battle will take place, and all the armies of the world will gather together, and they will form up, and they will march against that one little nation, the nation of Israel. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants to be around them. I heard the president of Iran say, I wish we could wipe them off of the face of the map. That's hatred now. That's hatred for God's chosen people. But there's coming a day when He's going to come on that white cloud or that white horse, and He's coming with that sharp sword. And my friend, the Bible says He's going to take a sickle, and those that are His at His coming, He's going to gather that wheat, and they're going to go into the barn. He's going to gather together that net, take that good fish, and He's going to gather together them. And my friend, this other angel is going to come with this other sickle. He's going to thrust it into the earth, and He's going to cast those tares, if you will, and He's going to thrust those grapes in this particular aspect to the wine press of God, and God will crush them. Listen, I don't know about you. God's going to have the last say-so. God's going to have the last say-so. When it's all said and done, God's got the final word, and not Muhammad. Amen. And not whoever else. Sun Moon, whatever his name is, and Lottie Moon, and whoever else, they're not going to have the last word. It's going to be God Almighty will have the last word. Amen. That woke some of you up, didn't it? The blood, when God gets through. Now, listen, I know this is gory, but I'm telling you, a lot of people want to know what's going to happen in time. You don't have to watch television to find out. Just read your Bible. It's almost like reading, watching the news on television. You read that Bible. I tell you what you want to, if you want to know what's going to happen in the world, you just watch the nation of Israel. Keep your eye on them, because that's God's timepiece. He looks at them. We look at our watches, and we look to tell time. But God looks at that nation of Israel to tell time. And when that fig tree, Matthew 24, brings forth those leaves in its season, it's time, God says, all right, it's time to go get the kids, amen, my children, and we're going to gather the good fish, and we're going to gather the bad fish, and the bad fish are going to the furnace of fire. I sure hope you're saved. Because if you're not, it's going to be a bad day in Bedrock. It's going to be a bad day when His angels get together and they throw that net out and they draw in the fish in the last day at the Battle of Armageddon at the second coming. Yes, it's going to take place. And the Bible was true when it said in Micah 5:2 that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. It happened in Luke chapter number 2. Now, I don't have any other sense than to believe that Revelation 14 is going to take place one day. It hasn't yet, but I can promise you this, on the authority of God's Word, He will have the last say-so, and you better be on the right team. And we see in Matthew 13, the last parable, parable number 7. He gathers together those fish, matches up with the last church over there in the book of Revelation. Now, let's take just a few minutes, if I can. I feel led to do that. Let me take just a second and show you a spiritual application for Matthew 13. Already we know the bad fish represent those that are not saved. Those good fish represent those that are saved. Now, we know as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, those that are saved in the day of grace, we know. And you know, you ought to know by now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says the next event on God's time calendar is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the body of Christ. The rapture of those that are saved, bought by the blood of the Lamb. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He says the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout. Now watch this. In the rapture, the Lord's not coming to this earth. He's only coming about halfway. And we're going to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Say, preacher, where are all us saved folks going? Well, we're going to a place before the throne of God, and it's going to be called the judgment seat of Christ. Those only people that are saved will make it to the judgment seat of Christ. Say, preacher, what are we going to do there? Well, over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it tells us they're going to be judged for the deeds of the body, whether they be good or bad. Or every man's work will be tried by fire. If your works are burnt up, you're going to receive a bunch of ashes and you will suffer loss. Yet, the soul will be saved. Nobody's going to hell from the judgment seat of Christ. Come on now. Nobody's going to hell from the judgment seat of Christ. When you get there, my friend, we're going to be judged for what you've done since you've been saved. Have you done anything for the Lord since you've been saved? That's what we're going there for. And the whole purpose of us being judged at the judgment seat of Christ is to get ready and be prepared, put our white garments on, and we're headed to a wedding. And it's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter number 19, I think verse number 11. We're going to a wedding. And when we get to that wedding, we are going to be spotless, white, and clean, and the righteousness of God. And the only way you can get righteousness with God is through the finished work of the cross of Calvary. It's not through church membership. It's not through baptism. It's not through anything else, my friend, but through the blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Say, preacher, what's going to be going on down on this earth when we're caught up into heaven? I'm going to tell you, it's called Daniel's 70th week. 7 years, great tribulation upon this earth that this earth has never seen. You don't want to be here. Because this when, my friend, there's going to come a guy that's going to raise his hand and say, I can bring peace and safety to this world. I can join religion and the government and I can bring them together and we can be under one world government. We can cash in all of our money and we'll come under one world money. Throw your checkbooks away. Throw your cards away. Listen, I've got a way that you can, we can solve our illegal alien problem. I got a thing that'll solve kidnapping. Amen. I can got a way that can keep your dog and cat from getting lost. And the way we do this, America, listen. The way we do this is you let me insert this little chip into your right hand or your forehead, whichever one you prefer. We can keep out all those that don't belong here. We can keep your kids from getting kidnapped. Don't they sound good? Yes, it sounds good. Some of you not buying it, but I thought I was a pretty good politician. Listen, I'm concerned about your kids. I'm concerned about your welfare. And we can bring one world government. There's no sense in us having all of these different. Let's all come under one roof. And let's all just love each other and get along. Who will vote for me? Not a soul. I went as good as I thought it was. And they says, let us plant this in. When you go to Walmart, you run your hand across that little scanner. It pulls up your bank account. You tell them how much to take out because that's what it costs. No money, no checkbook, no credit card, no more fraud, no more identity theft. It'll solve the world's problems. You don't believe it? Miss the rapture and find out. Miss the rapture and find out. It'll be the best thing that's ever happened to America. And the Antichrist will say, I can bring it in. I'll make a treaty with Israel. We'll love them too. And halfway through the middle of the tribulation period, he'll break that covenant with them. He'll march over there into that city of Jerusalem and he'll desecrate that temple. Amen. It'll be the most evil day America has ever seen. And then God Almighty, from heaven above, as soon as we get through with the marriage supper of the Lamb, he says, all right, kids, y'all ready? Y'all look out in the field. Y'all see them horses over there? Y'all get you one. It's time to go clean house and thrust in the sickle. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. Y'all go pick you out a white horse and get behind me. We fixing to take the earth by storm. You say, preacher, or you say, God, how are we going to fight? You're going to need fighting. I'm taking this with me. Woo, I almost jumped all over him. Let me get over here away from the kids. He says, I'm taking this with me. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, Revelation 19. And he's coming, and he's coming the second time, and boy, is he mad. He's not coming as a little bitty baby in a manger. He's not coming to be crucified. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is the Son of God, and ain't nobody going to stop Him. Ain't nobody going to stop Him. The Antichrist is going to bow at His feet. The Antichrist will be sitting in the temple of that day, and here comes a rustling of horses' hooves. The Antichrist looks around and says, all right, guys, we got to go to battle. I don't think we can beat them, but we're going to have to fight. Russia, China, Iran, y'all get ready. Here they come. And they're going to gather together in the valley of Jehoshaphat, Revelation chapter number 19. And this is where we read a few minutes ago where the blood's going to be for 200 miles in the valley of Megiddo. And don't you think, hey, you ain't never seen it look like that on TV. Mm-mm. And guess what? He'll march on that white horse into the city of Jerusalem, just like he did on that donkey when he first came. He'll march right through the eastern gate. He'll march right into that temple. He'll get off of that horse and sit down at that temple. He'll take back control of that temple in New Jerusalem. He's going to set up all the tribes of Israel, three on this side, three of the north, three of the south, three to the south, three to the east, three to the west. 12 tribes will be gathered around that city. And guess who's on his right hand? Right next to David is going to be the bride of Christ. My friend, you better be on his side. You say, preacher, how'd I get on his side? Ready? Romans chapter number 3. Let me show you this real quick. Romans chapter number 3. Ready? I'm closing. But I want to get this to you right quick. I haven't done this in a while. If you hadn't seen this in a while, you may want to get a pencil and write in your Bible. Romans chapter number 3, look at verse 10. The Bible says this. If you want to be saved, number 1, as it is written, verse number 10, Romans chapter 3, look at it. It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know what that means? That means every one of us are low down, rotten dirt balls. Adam come from the dirt. Your papa is papa Adam. He come from the dirt. That makes you and I a dirt ball. None righteous, no, not one. Out by the side of 3:10, write Romans 3:23 and go over there and look at it. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? That means ain't none of us. I know it's improper English, but that means there ain't none of us good enough to get to heaven. The best person on the... Listen, Mother Teresa, as good as she was, comes short of the glory of God. Yes, I have no doubt. We'll not argue with you 1 minute she was a good lady. We'll not argue with me. But according to that Bible, she still comes short of the glory of God. You know what that means? That means she couldn't get to heaven on her own. That means you can't get to heaven on your own. That means I couldn't get to heaven on my own. That means we got to look somewhere else. I can't do it. The church can't do it. Mohammed can't do it. The Pope can't do it. So we got to look at somewhere else. Out beside Romans 3:23, you put Romans 5:12 and go over there and look. In Romans 5:12, it shows us how we got in this condition. Wherefore, as the one man, sin into the world. Who was that one man? Adam. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Now, I know there's some folks say all don't mean all, but I'm telling you now, all means all. Amen. All men, for that all have sinned. Guess what? We're all in trouble. Everybody's a sinner. We can't come, we're come short of the glory of God. Preacher, you just told us we couldn't get to heaven on our own. What are we going to do? We inherited this sin nature from Adam. Now what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look at Romans 6 and verse number 23, and it would be good to write that verse out to the side of 5:12. Romans 6, verse number 23. The wages, the paycheck, the money, the pay, wages of sin is death. You know what that means? Hey, Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men who wants to die, and after this is judgment. If the Lord tarries, every one of us are going to the graveyard. Every one of us. Now, I hope I miss it. I hope the rest of my family, I hope we miss it. I hope the rapture takes place tonight and we all miss it. And we can go up together and none of us have to do any more funerals around here. That would be wonderful. I'm going to tell you, if the Lord tarries, every one of us say, preacher, why'd I have to bury my mama? Why'd I have to bury? Because of sin. It wasn't that they wasn't saved. They might have been saved, but because of sin, sin defiles this body, and you're going to die with something. Eventually, saved, lost, makes no difference. Everybody's going to die with something. Some sooner, some later. But all the wages of sin, that's the price tag for sin, is death. But, you know what that but means? That means there's something better on the way. There's a better alternative. There is. Say, preacher, you just told us we got to die. Well, let's see what it said. But the gift of God. Well, what's the gift of God? Well, He gave His only begotten Son to us. He gave us the best gift He had. Amen. The gift of God is eternal life. You know what that means? Eternal means when you get it, you got it for eternity. Eternal life. How am I going to get it, preacher? The only way to get it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how you get saved. Oh, but hey, you might want to write out beside that Romans 5 and verse number 8. One of my favorites. Romans 5, 8, you know what it says? But God commended, what does that word commend mean? It means demonstrate. He demonstrated, He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were dirt balls, while we were coming short of the glory of God, while we were not righteous. Amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ still died for me. And He died for you. He died for me. Guess what? He paid the sin debt on the cross. Now you got one of two options. You can either pay for your own sins, and the only way you can pay for your own sins, if you want to do it yourself, you can do it yourself if you'd like to. The only way you can pay for your own sins is go to hell. That's what Jesus had to do. Y'all looking at me crazy. I ain't left the Bible yet. Hey, that's what Jesus had to do. And if you want to pay for your own sins, that's what you'll have to do. Or, you can accept Jesus Christ for full payment. Say, God, I know what You did for me at the cross of Calvary. I can't do this thing on my own. I've tried everything under the sun. I've tried the bottle. I've tried the pill. I've tried joining every church in Dyer County. I've tried getting baptized in every creek, every river where the tadpoles know my first name. I've tried everything. I've tried teaching Sunday school. I've tried to be a deacon. I've tried to be associate pastor. I've tried everything, song lead. I've tried playing the piano. I've tried everything under the sun, and nothing seems to fill that void on the inside. So God, right now, I know You're the only way. You're the only truth. You're the only life. And I accept You right now as my personal Savior. Please come into my heart and life and save me. Amen. Amen. He'll throw a truckload of salvation over the portals of heaven. And it'll hit your soul. And son, you'll be running around. Hallelujah. The bees will start swarming. You'll get happy. Some of you don't look happy tonight. I don't know. But I'm telling you, you start talking about salvation going to heaven, you ought to be getting happy. Amen. And then out beside that, last one, Romans 10:13. What does it say? Well, it's a good one. Look at it. Romans 10:13. For whosoever. Now, this is one time I'll let you do this. Hey, I tell you what you do. You take your pencil, just write over that whosoever. Put your name right there. That ain't adding to the Word of God. No. Just write over that, put your name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be not maybe, not hope so. He said, I'll do it if you'll call on me. I'll do it. Try me and see if I won't do it. God says, I sent my only son. I bankrupt heaven to come to this world, and I give them the best I had. And when somebody goes to hell, say, preacher, I can't understand why God would send anybody to hell. God asked this question. When you ask that question to Him, I don't understand why you'd send anybody to hell. God asked this question. I don't understand how anybody could not accept my Son for all that He did on the cross of Calvary. I don't understand how you can trample over the blood of Christ and not accept Him for full payment of sin. And then when you get to heaven, God asks you this question. I've always heard St. Peter standing there at the door. I've never found that in the Bible nowhere. God's going to meet you at the door and He's going to say, what authority do you have to get into heaven? What authority are you planning on getting up here with? For God, I've been an awful good person. I ain't a good enough authority. God, I've been baptized. I was baptized down in the Holy Hills, man. I'm telling you, that preacher held me under a long time. Surely I got authority to get in. He said, no, they won't get you. Some old saint of God comes up there. God says, what authority you have to come into heaven? The old saint of God says, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. And it'll save every last person in the building. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for tonight. God, how good it is to know, even though how sorry we are, You still chose to save poor old sinners.